So last week we didn't really get into the lesson, but I felt like we had an excellent class. I thoroughly enjoyed just talking on that topic of liberty of conscience. And I really hope that from that class you walked away from here really contemplating exactly what is liberty of conscience and what it means and the effects of it. And how it should affect your Christian life. How it ought to affect us, you know, just thinking on it. It affects me in so many ways as a father, as a husband, as an employee, just on and on, as a church member, as a Christian. That concept just permeates in every aspect of our life. And I love it. Just meditating on that thought and just the exercise of going down that path, it just opens up so much and just allows you to now study certain things out and keeping that thought in mind, liberty of conscience. We had a situation this morning dealing with something that's like, can't force people. So that thought came to mind really quickly, liberty of conscience. I can't force you, but you know, certain things we are as parents, we're gonna, you know, we're doing this. But anyways, the idea though is just last week just discussing that, and I felt like everybody just kind of really got invested in that, and that's good because it is at the heart of our Baptist history. And we'll see in today's lesson that, well, let me ask you a question real quick. How many would say, you've heard that term, you've heard liberty of conscience, individual soul liberty, you've heard those terms in this church? I know you have because I have. But outside of this church, outside of the preaching or the teaching in this church, how many of you say that you've been taught individual soul liberty or liberty of conscience? How many of you say that it was a familiar term? Yeah, me neither. Well, Brother Rob, right. I grew up in a Baptist church, and this was alien to me. That says something. So, obviously, we have lost something. We are ignorant of our Baptist history, because your Baptist history is your American history too, because your Bill of Rights was written by your Baptist forefathers. So we have been robbed of an education of our true history, and that's a tragedy, and by design. So in going through this lesson, you need to understand how that happened so that we can prevent it from happening again. And it starts with me. In my home, my wife and my children need to know their Baptist history. Well, in order for them to know their Baptist history, I need to know my Baptist history. And you say, well, why is it a big deal? It's just Baptists, but you know, there's Lutherans, there's Catholics, there's blah, 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 blah. It's a big deal. Amen. It is a big deal. I didn't realize how big a deal it was until I went on the Baptist history tour. Because before I went on the Baptist history tour, I didn't really understand why I was even a Baptist. So we'll get into today's lesson. Some of those things will kind of come to light. We'll discuss them. But I would really impress upon you to continue to meditate on that thought of liberty of conscience. Because it is extremely important. And continue to keep in mind that your history is extremely important. Extremely important. And understanding that you ain't covering all Baptist history in this little book. This is just to whet your appetite. You need to do your own research, because it needs to become yours. If it's not your history, then that's problematic. So, lesson two, the problem of ignorance, how it happened, and what it has produced. So Hosea 4:6a says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. you can look at our society and see that our people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge of their heritage. This country is eroding by the second, because people are being taught this revisionist history. They're being taught that their forefathers were evil and everything needs to be undone. Yeah. And that's wicked. Were they men? Yes. Did George Washington own slaves? From what I've read, yes. But does that make him just all bad? I don't think so. You know, you without sin cast the first stone. The point is, I guess, you know, we're getting off there, but they're preaching this new religion that eradicates the old principles. And this revisionist history of social justice and everything through that lens is basically a wrecking ball to the pillars of what this nation was founded upon. And we need to, because our children are being robbed, if you go out and you do a survey, start asking people questions about just basic American history. Who fought in the Revolutionary War? You'd be amazed at how many people can't answer that question. I'm serious. You ask questions like, when was the Vietnam War? I have conversations with people at work, and I'm blown away by what they don't know. And I don't know a lot, but, you know, it's sad. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So in our last lesson, we examined a statement from Dr. Sewell S. Cutting. The statement pointed out how indifferent Baptists are to their own heritage. The thing to keep in mind as you read this statement is that it was made over 150 years ago. If Dr. Cutting was right about Baptists over 150 years ago, what do you suppose is our condition today? I assure you that in spite of all of the technological and educational advances we've made over the past century and a half, we are in worse condition today than at any other time in history. Baptists are truly ignorant of their own heritage. Living example right here. Me, and I would dare say many of you, we're ignorant of our history. Excuse me. Baptist people are in trouble. Everything God warned us about seems to be happening before our eyes. In lesson one, we saw that when we become disconnected from our heritage, we both forget and deny God. We learned that a lack of stirring could be the result of a lack of remembrance. These things are prevalent in our generation. Anybody disagree with those statements? You watching the news, current events, look out on the street, look in our churches. You see, this isn't a world problem, this is a church problem. They, out there, obviously they don't care about our history. But when we don't care about our history in here, that's how things creep in. And you'll see that as we advance in this lesson. It's clearly demonstrated, and we'll get to that. This lesson will address the problem of ignorance. Before this problem is rectified, it is imperative that several facts be brought to light and accepted. First, Baptists must admit that we are truly ignorant of our history. If you can't admit that you don't know something, you can't learn something, right? Okay, first thing we got to do is set our pride aside and say, you know what, I don't know. I struggled with this. It seems very simple, but I struggled with this. Because I've been a Baptist my whole life. I should know more than a guy that's only been a Baptist for 20 years, right? No. Because he put the time in, I didn't. I just took everything I was told my whole life and just took it as gospel. That's a dangerous place to be. And then, you know, thank God he brought us to this church, the people that cared about, you know, the truth and standing. And then I've met people like Brother Alexander, met people like Brother Hewitt, met people like Brother Samuel Freed, met people like Brother John, met people like Brother Rob. Sorry, I mentioned a lot of names and my brain don't work that fast. But people that actually care about why it is we do what we do here. And what price was paid and everything that was poured into us being what we are. And where it all started. Because where it started is extremely important. And if you don't know where it started, then you have no way of knowing where you're headed. So, I lost my place, I'm sorry. So ignorance came, so we must understand how this ignorance came about in the first place. Then we must make sure that we do not allow this to happen again. Lastly, each one of us must do our best to become acquainted with our history and then commit ourselves to teach it to our children. Every pastor has a great responsibility to train his flock. Some may ask, are we really that ignorant of our heritage? Well, there's some questions there. How many read the homework? How many read those questions? How many answered those questions?
I answered most of them.
Did you, if the questions you didn't know, did you go look them up? Because one of the things I did when I first read through this, I didn't go back and look up the answer. I just, you know, kind of read through it. I was like, the second time I read through it, I was like, you know, I don't know the answer to some of those questions. That ought to cause me to want to know. Not just be okay with the fact that I don't know that. I ought to want to know. And you ought to want to know. I used to be comfortable with not knowing until I heard it up here. And I'm sure that we have people sitting here that feel the same way. Not necessarily just in this class, but in every service. That I'm okay not knowing until I hear it up here. Because we want to be we want to be spoon-fed everything. We don't want to go do our own hunting. Right? We don't want to do our own gathering. We want to wait until somebody brings it to us. We just want to sit at the dinner table and eat. We're gluttonous. And I've been there. And to be honest with you, in this study, I really have realized how complacent I have been in studying things out for myself. I just hear it, and that was good enough. I just wait until it was preached or taught. That was good enough. No, that's not good enough. It's not good enough that we, that's why I'm kind of glad that this is an overview and not a full-on handing you everything, because I don't want to hand you everything. I want you to go, because I'm going to tell you what, in the things that I've begun to study out, it's been very rewarding. And it'll be rewarding for you too if you go study it out. So the idea is, I think that was Brother Alexander's intent too. Yeah, we want to teach these things, but we don't just want to give you everything. You need to do your own work. You need to do your own research because you're going to be rewarded in that. So that was, reading those questions, these next questions was very, it just impacted me. And I hope it impacts you too. So can we move ahead in the slides? I'm sorry. Okay. Can you name some Baptist people groups? That's that first question. We really are ignorant of our heritage. The following points prove our lack of knowledge. These are facts that the author has established as true, having done dozens of Baptist heritage conferences and having posed these questions to many people. Read and discuss them. So, can you name some Baptist people groups? Anybody? Name one. Brother?
Paulicians.
Waldensians.
Stolen, but Anabaptists.
Who was that?
He's stolen, but Anabaptists.
Okay, Anabaptists.
Bogomils.
Who's that?
Bogomils.
Okay, I've seen that one, but I haven't studied them yet. So you got me on that one.
The Dunkards and also the Chin Baptists.
Yep. Yeah.
Donatists?
No, she said Dunkards.
Dunkards.
Oh.
Yeah. The Donatist was the one I was waiting to say. He stole mine. The Donatist. Okay, so there's over a dozen of these people groups. These people groups represent throughout Baptist history a continuation of the church that Christ started. That was actually not started in the book of Acts. It was started in the Gospels. Who is the first Baptist?
Jesus.
John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Yeah. I read an interesting, that's actually part of the next question, so we'll but these are some of the people groups that we can name throughout Baptist history. You see, this we call ourselves Baptists, right? Well, they ain't always called themselves Baptists. That was a name given. And we kind of discussed that, how that was a derogatory term, that the Baptists were called Anabaptists, rebaptizers, and persecuted by the Protestants because they believed in the legitimate baptism into the church, and nobody came into the church without being properly baptized after a testimony of salvation, not baptism as salvation. So, if some of these names or these names of these people groups that's been thrown out here are alien to you, I would encourage you to start studying. It's not hard. It seems intimidating. It was intimidating to me. I'm like, that's a whole lot of stuff to learn. But you know what? If you enjoy it, you'll do it. And you'll enjoy it if you'll do it. If you want to be a part of history, his story, because his story should be your story, because this is the story of our Lord and his establishment of his church throughout all the age. Right? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God will preserve his church. You know, this is, we should want to know that we are a part of the church that Jesus Christ, that Christ founded, that he built his church, that John the Baptist provided the building materials for. That was interesting. That brother said, John is reading this thing just the other day. And John the Baptist provided the building materials for Christ to build his church. That's a very interesting way of putting that. So, but yeah, you ought to desire to know who these people are and why it should matter to you. So the next question, next slide please. Most professed Baptists do not give a viable explanation as to why they are Baptist other than Baptists stick closest to the Bible. Can you? I ain't gonna lie to you. It wasn't all that long ago. That was my reasoning. That was the reason I gave. Well, I'm a Baptist because they stick closest to the Bible. I've given that. I have said that probably less than 3 years ago.
It's not wrong.
It's not wrong, but it ain't the reason. Because not all Baptists stick closest to the Bible. I've been in some Baptist churches, even not that far away from here, that don't stick close to the Bible at all. So, can you give a reason that you're a Baptist other than that? Just, if you want to, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you want to, how many of you would say that you can't really give another explanation other than that? Okay, I was alone in that. Good. But the reality is, I would say a lot of Baptists have that reasoning. And here's the problem with that. That's very shaky ground to stand on. Because as long as they believe what I believe, then I'm a Baptist. The reality is, I want them to believe and me to believe what Christ taught. The true teachings of the Word of God in terms of what constitutes a church. What is salvation? What is baptism? How does a person join a church? What is the role of a church? You know, as long as just thinking through that thought, you know, I'm a Baptist because they most closely teach, the Baptists stick closest to the Bible. I don't want to stick closest to the Bible. I want to stick to the Bible. And you'll see in some of the next questions where that becomes an issue with this whole thing of fundamentalism. The average Baptist today doesn't know when the Baptist began. Do you? Anybody know when the Baptist church began? I know you know.
There's some debate on that. I mean, there's different Baptist groups that would say that it starts with Pentecost. Some would say it starts between Matthew 16 and Matthew 18.
Right.
I believe the principles of the Baptist are alive and well. Yeah, with John the Baptist, some will struggle with that thought because of, you know, just trying to keep things straight. But, yeah.
It's not a trick question, but it is a bit of a tricky question. I personally, my personal belief based on what I have studied in a relatively short span of time, but I wanted to know. I believe it started with John the Baptist. I believe John the Baptist founded the Baptist Church. And I won't say founded, but yeah, I won't say founded the Baptist Church, but the Baptist Church started with John the Baptist being the first member of that Baptist Church. Because what do we believe? Church membership is, you have to be baptized to be into the body of believers, right? You have to be baptized here as a profession. The baptism is required for church membership, right? Well, was baptism taking place prior to John the Baptist? What's that?
Not
water baptism. Right.
But yeah. I would still say in reference to that Christ said that it's his church. So,
right.
You know, it's not John's church.
No, not trying to say that.
But it is definitely the building material. The principles were laid
right
by John. And this work is really, really interesting what constitutes it. Some would say that the Holy Spirit has to be there for it to be constituted, but really the Baptist Church it's a series of principles and beliefs that definitely were in existence. That John was a forerunner of. I mean, that's what Jesus said that he was.
I'll tell you why that I came to the conclusion that John was, the first Baptist church was, I won't say started with John, but they had baptized disciples. John had baptized disciples. In my definition, that constitutes church. I mean, I could be wrong, study that out some more, but point is, I'm not telling you that's what you need to believe. I'm telling you that's what you need to study. But as it stands right now, based on what I've seen, and I'm open to, if we could discuss this more, I would love to hear other, you know, I'd love to discuss that. For me, that's where I'm at right now, but I'm not cemented there because, you know, I don't decide what the truth is. The Lord reveals those things to us. But the reality is that, most Baptists don't know when the Baptist began. I would say what's even more problematic is most don't care. We can sit and debate when all day long, but if you don't care, what does it matter? You have to care enough to get invested, to find out, to study. Because you know what? You may find something that helps me to come to better understanding of this. Right? You know, I know the pastor's well studied in a lot of things. Like that and well thought out, and I want to be that way myself. I want you to be that way because we're all going to get excited talking about these things. It's going to stir us up because we're discussing things in remembrance, right? Now I want to know the answer to that question, but more so I want to care to know the answer to that question, and I want you to care. Many Baptists believe that the Puritans gave America religious liberty, were a friend to the Baptist, and that without them, America would have a state church, none of which are true. Do you know who the Puritans were? Did you know they persecuted our Baptist forefathers? Did you know that they tried to force our Baptist forefathers to succumb to a state church? How many of you went to a Christian school? Nope, just me? Okay. Well, I went, the Baptist church we went to, we had a Christian school, and I know a lot of you were homeschooled, but I went to this Baptist school, and curriculum used was Bob Jones, and I think another curriculum that was used was Moody. I was taught that the Puritans were friends of the Baptists. All these things that were just asked here, I was taught. Wasn't taught that they persecuted the Baptists. Wasn't taught that taught they were all the ones that did all the good work that had given us all the freedoms we got now. I was taught that. You know why I was taught that? Because Bob Jones is Protestant. Because Moody is Protestant. Being taught in a Baptist church school. Was being taught lies. Didn't even know it. Grew up thinking, you know, I was taught Baptists were Protestant. Didn't discover until much later on that Baptists aren't Protestant. We had nothing to do with the Catholic Church. Can't come out of something you were never a part of. But the fact is that the Puritans were extremely unfriendly to Baptists, were totally opposed to, or totally in favor of a state church. And that was one of the big things that led to the Bill of Rights, the Baptists fighting for that, keeping the state or church and state separate. Puritans were not friendly to the Baptists at all. They were extremely persecuted by the Puritans here in America. And, you know, a lot of these persecutions we talked about happened in Rome, like the wheel and the stretcher devices, the cross, the crucifixion, all that stuff. When we think persecution, the first thing we do is go to that first century of Christianity and think, you start looking at a persecution that happened here on American soil, and it rivals that. Yeah.
Can you speak to why a state church is wrong?
Why a state church is wrong?
And what that is. What is it and why it's wrong?
So a state church is, so state, let me get my word, sponsor.
Just so you can, yeah.
What's that?
I don't want to put you on the spot. I
no, that's a discussion. But so state sponsored church. In other words, so Catholicism was a state church. It was approved by Constantine. So anytime the church and the state get in bed together,
government.
What's that?
Government.
So government and the church get in bed together, that's a bad thing. Because now, so like Constantine used Catholicism to kind of control the people. Made that the state or the government religion. If you were going to be in Rome, then you had to be a Christian by their definition. Well, now you are making church membership compulsory. You're making salvation compulsory. You're making, you have to get baptized into the church. You're making these compulsory. And then that led to the Crusades, where now we're going places and it's convert or die. Right? I mean, that's the reality of what it was, right? I mean, it's convert or die. And now we talk about Islam. Well, Islam is a state church, okay? So anytime you see state church, that's a bad thing, because now the church becomes God and the government becomes the hammer, if you will, or the sword, by which we're going to force compliance. Well, both of those ideas go contrary to the whole idea of individual soul liberty, liberty of conscience, right? So now we're forcing people to believe something. The reality is, you're not forcing anybody to believe anything. You're just forcing people to do something, even if they believe it or not. Yeah.
And that's not to say that Christians definitely shouldn't be able to affect the government or anything, because God dictates how we live, how our morals are. We should definitely have a moral government affected by Christians. So I think it's great that we're not allowed to just rob each other and stuff. But even if we got somebody that believes exactly like we do, like if we got pastor to go and work for the state and he got to dictate all the rules and everything, eventually, he's not going to be. And even if things are perfect for a little while, and we take away everybody's liberty to not go to church, whatever, even if we do starts out okay, which even, like I said, even if we got exactly our way and it was in the government, it still wouldn't be good because it takes away people's freedom of conscience.
Right. So I guess maybe since we're on that topic, let's ask the question. Separation of church and state, what's that mean? What does that look like? Do we say that the church has absolutely no authority in government and the government has absolutely no authority in church?
No.
Is that what we're saying?
No.
Okay, what are we saying then? What does it mean, separation of church and state?
State doesn't have the right to have an authorized church that infringes on the rights of other people to worship the way they choose to worship.
Right, okay. So that's, again, you come back to liberty of conscience. The government doesn't have a right to tell me what to believe.
Right.
And I don't have a right to tell the government what to believe.
Right.
I do have the right to restrict the powers of the government.
Involved, right.
Right. And that, and then that thereby is done by the dictates of my conscience. Now, I hope my conscience is led correctly. That's why we need to get people, good Christian, God-fearing, Bible-believing people into these places that are led by the Spirit. Because we're, what's the Bible say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
Well, so if the Spirit of the Lord ain't there, what's there? Bondage. What are we heading towards? Bondage. So again, I'll ask, what does separation of church and state mean? Do I think being a homosexual?
That's okay by the government.
Sorry, I thought you were. Do I think being a homosexual is okay? No. Do I think that gives me the right to kill you? No. you know, you said something interesting. They want to keep us out of government because they think our religion will cause us to make government oppressive.
Right.
Well, what's their religion doing?
Because,
like it or not, they got a religion. They might not want to admit it. Even an atheist has a religion. Because the whole thing about evolution, that's a religion. It requires faith to believe it. Right? Might be falsely placed faith, but it's faith nonetheless. Yeah.
I'd love to get further that number further, though. The difference in the Puritan and Baptist and really the Reformed.
Reformed that, Baptist? Huge.
Protestantism is Reformed theology.
Right.
And so it goes all the way back to Augustinian theology. And so if you study that, if you study what who Augustine is, that is Catholicism, and that is also Protestantism. And that's what the Baptists rejected. And that's really where you have to land.
Mm-hmm.
Because that City on a Hill book from Augustine and all his principles and all, that's what's there. And if you're not sure about that, then you're gonna flock to different Christian, like you're going to use a Becca material, you know, you're going to use Bob Jones material, you're going to do it, and you're not going to see, it's Christian.
Right.
Yeah, but they're teaching you principles of Augustinianism, and if you don't understand what that is, then you're teaching your kids to be enslaved later from a master of religion. It's not good.
Well, they preach a universal. We're all, you know, the universal church, that's what kind of Catholic means, is universal. But
there's
they...
There, I don't know, we're out of time, but
yeah.
We need that further back.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we'll hang on right there, and we'll come back to this thought, and I'd like to dive more into that and the separation of church and state and all of those things next week. So look into that. Be prepared to discuss it. I'd love to hear some feedback. So we're out of time. Brother Rob, would you dismiss us in prayer?